Hi everyone, thanks for joining today's Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we're going to be learning more about Skype and how it can be used at schools. I've got a very interesting guest in studio with me today. Gareth Ireland, please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do as part of the Skype team.
Cool, thank you very much, Megan. My name is Gareth Ireland. I've been at Microsoft for 11 years now. Primarily been in our services, deploying stuff, but I'm now the Skype for Business product manager. I'm very excited about Skype and the potential that it brings to our customers and the potential it can make to the difference of our customers that work with the, be it students or businesses, it can really make a difference in everyone's life.
Thanks, Gareth, and thanks for being part of our webinar today. So Skype for Business is a huge tool for Microsoft and has lots of different applications. But today we're going to be specifically talking about Skype and how it can be used at schools. There are two types of Skype. Can you tell us what they are and what the key differences are between them?
Sure. So the first thing we've got is Skype Consumer. So Skype Consumer has been around for a very long time. It was one of the first products to actually do video conferencing and voice conferencing across the internet. And I think it was 2012 when Microsoft bought Skype Consumer. Microsoft at the time had a product called Link, which was really the equivalent of Skype, but for the bigger organizations and enterprises. And what they've done then is they've rebranded Link to Skype for Business, just to carry the same branding across Skype. As a word, as a verb, like people Skype each other. So that's quite powerful. It also has a massive user base. It's got about 3 billion users. Accounts for about 50 billion minutes a month, and actually does about 40% of all international calling still happens across Skype Consumer. Skype for Business, on the other hand, is more of an enterprise-grade business version of Skype, shall I say. It has a lot more features built into it. It's a lot more about compliance and everything that matters to an organization. And the two do meet, so you can talk from one platform to another. And really for Microsoft, it's about us connecting people, and giving them the different modalities in terms of how they can communicate, collaborate, and really like removing those boundaries that we've had, traditionally.
So there really are lots of users across Skype and across Skype for Business. And this means that it can be a really powerful tool at schools when they come to speak to both colleagues within the school environment, teachers speaking to their students, as well as to people outside of the school environment, so to potential guest speakers or even to parents. We're going to be talking about a lot of these different uses of Skype and Skype for Business in the classroom as part of this virtual academy. But let's go back just to basic Skype for a minute or two. Yeah. If somebody doesn't already have Skype, so if they're one of the billions who not yet connected, where can you go to just get ordinary consumer Skype?
So consumer Skype, there's a number of ways of getting it. You can go to skype.com, download the app if you want to use it on your Windows operating system or your Mac operating system. Via your phone, you can go to any store and download the Skype consumer app. You would get a logon, like a Microsoft ID that you would log on with. And then you have a handle, and people can contact you on that.
So you can give other people your sort of Skype name and become Skype contacts with them.
Yeah, that's it. And I think maybe we should also just reiterate to the audience that what workloads can you actually use? So, we're all used to how we communicate now is not necessarily how we used to communicate 10 years ago. So we use instant messaging, we use different platforms for instant messaging, we use video to communicate with people, we use data sharing, we use things like voice. So really, there's a whole bunch of what we call modalities. Which those are just the methods that we use to communicate to each other. And Skype is a platform that, whether it's Skype Consumer or Skype for Business, where we have instant messaging, point to peer-to-peer or between two people, between three people or more. We can then escalate that to an audio call, a voice call. We can escalate it to video. We can add content and share content. They're very similar on both platforms. I think it's just the scale and the control that you have to be able to do that. So with those modalities, those are new modalities that we weren't able to be able to communicate with people across boundaries and borders and geographies And that's what's available to people now with Skype.
I mean, for example, my sister lives in the UK, and I Skype with her all the time.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic that you know, I can send her a quick little you know, instant message if I'm, you know, at work or at my desk. But if I'm at home and maybe have a bit more time to chat, or my child wants to speak to her auntie, we can put on the video chat, and you know, they can see one another, which is really nice, and something that you're not able to get from you know, from speaking to somebody on the phone.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, those boundaries and spaces between us. I've also got a lot of family overseas and friends and colleagues overseas. And it really removes that. So that, you know, awkward silence that you have when you first meet them after 5 years doesn't seem to happen, because you're in constant contact with them like you saw them yesterday, you know.
And it's not expensive. There's no cost to download the Skype app, is there?
No. The Skype download is free. Being able to communicate internet to internet is free. There's also the ability to be able to phone out in remote countries, so that there's a charge attached to that. But I could phone somebody on their mobile in London using my Skype client, and I just pay for that leg out of London to that call. So yeah, it's really removed a lot of boundaries that we've had. And with that, we've facilitated so many more possibilities in terms of solving everyday problems, you know, whether it be in the organization, colleagues communicating with each other. The same applies in the school environments, in universities and schools, to be able to reach out to people you never had access to before.
So Skype can reduce the costs of communication. It can make communication available using these different modalities. You can Skype from your desktop or from your phone. And if somebody's a Skype contact with you, you just pay for the data, not so?
Pretty much, yeah.
But,
yeah.
And then if you do have to phone somebody who's not in your Skype network, you can buy a Skype credit, and it's about the same price as just phoning somebody locally.
Exactly, yeah.
So Skype Consumer is really worth having. And if anybody's watching this and you haven't yet connected to Skype, really download that app and get going. But now let's talk a bit about Skype for Business, because Skype for Business is really just like Consumer Skype, but on steroids. The amazing things that you can do just using, you know, the normal Skype that you may very well already have can really be taken to the next level using Skype for Business. Gareth, what are some of the key differences? If somebody's already familiar with Skype and use it all the time, what would be the advantages of now accessing Skype for Business?
So I think if we look back at people that are familiar with Skype, we've got 3 billion users that are familiar with Skype. So obviously that's why we took on that branding. You know, we want to drive adoption, make sure it's easy for people to use. It's a familiar look and feel for everybody. And when you transition into Skype for Business, it becomes a lot more controlled in terms of the organization that has it. Can control what they do with it. They can guarantee that the quality of service is going to be perfect. Whereas, you know, normal Skype, it goes out on the internet and it's kind of best effort. With Skype for Business, it scales a lot bigger. It's got a lot more resiliency in the service itself. It allows you to reach more people, because you've got, you know, instead of just doing small conferences of, you know, maybe 3 or 4 users, you can now reach up to 10,000 users on that platform. So,
wow.
So we have Skype for Business where you can have conferences, and a conference for everyone out there is if we have more than 2 people in a discussion, that's a conference, and we can have that up to 250 people on an online conference. Or if we did a broadcast, so we also have a broadcast service on Skype for Business, we can reach up to like 10,000 people on that. So there will be 10,000 people sitting at their desk, on their phone, wherever, consuming that content. You can't reach that scale with Skype Consumer, I'm afraid.
For sure.
Yeah.
And with Skype Consumer, you actually have to sort of make contact with the people that you're going to be Skyping with.
Yeah.
Whereas for Skype for Business that you've just mentioned, conferences for thousands of people, you don't have to individually set up contact with all of those people, surely?
No. So those people will typically be in your organization or in your school. And they would be in your address list already, you know.
Okay.
So if you had other people outside that address list, yes, you would have to add them as contacts in your address. But everybody in your organization that's actually on Skype for Business would be in your contacts list. So in the context of a school, all the students, all the teachers, all the administration people, coaches, you know, anybody who had an account literally on with that organization.
Okay, yeah. So schools that have already signed up for Office 365, where everyone at their school already has, a school email address,
yeah.
would then automatically be connected through Skype for Business.
Yeah, that's right. They have access to, you know, as well as a whole host of other applications on O365. They've got access to Skype for Business there, so they have an account. They will download, the client or part of their Office package, their Pro Plus package. Then they would have access to it, and with that, everything else comes. Everybody who's registered for that organization on Office 365 would be in their address book, and they can exercise any of these modalities and conferences to any of those people if they like.
So I work for a small organization, and we're about 12 staff members. So when I started there, it was before Skype for Business existed.
Yeah.
On my sort of first day at work, I made Skype contacts with my, 11 other colleagues so that we could sort of Skype with one another.
Yeah.
But now with Skype for Business, and obviously at a much bigger organization like a school, a teacher wouldn't have to make Skype contacts with everyone at the school. They'd automatically be part of Skype for Business together.
Yeah, they'd automatically be there, but they can take it a bit further. That you can, the teacher can go and create like classroom groups or sports groups, like if there's a cricket side, there could be a group with cricket side and everyone be part of that cricket side, so they could address that group and they'd address everybody, and similar with subjects and classrooms and everything like that.
So just thinking of some of the challenges that educators face, Skype could really help to address the need to collaborate, to communicate with other stakeholders, be they parents, colleagues, a sort of class of kids. And it's really a way of getting everyone to work together and to all be aware of the information that they need.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, there's a lot of similar scenarios that apply in the enterprise that apply to the school. Speaking to the right people, trying to avoid the typical barriers we have in life, like time and traffic and, our busy schedules. And you don't have to be in a particular place at a particular time. You can join from anywhere and facilitate those discussions.
Okay, so that brings us on to our next point around how Skype can be used to create virtual classrooms, which helps to alleviate some of those barriers you've just mentioned. Teachers don't have to be in the same room with people who they would like to invite into their classroom to speak to their students. How could this work?
So, I mean, really, the sky's the limit in terms of setting up, the classroom is no longer a physical place that you need to be in. It's a group of people, really, that need to share a common idea and go through a process of learning. So it doesn't ring fence itself just to the people in that location or the people that are part of that school. A virtual classroom could span multiple schools. It could span multiple provinces. It could span multiple continents and countries. We could have a virtual classroom that involves students from a university in the US that could contribute, and really just giving you access to those resources. But not just that, it could be, I might be at home sick, I can't make it to school today. I'm sure a lot of the kids won't want to hear this, but you can still attend class, even if you're sitting at home, You can attend it via your Skype connection or your mobile or your phone, just to make sure that you don't miss out, So there's a whole bunch of examples that we could use it, but there's parent-teacher relationships can only get better with this, being in constant contact between the parent and the teacher, also being able to do parent-teacher conferences, and have them attend all the way down to, study groups for students. So if they want to group together and do study groups, so really the sky's the limit for this.
Okay, so about 2 weeks ago, I had the fortunate experience of getting to attend the E2 Education Exchange in Toronto in Canada. And what was amazing about this conference was quite a few of the teachers who were there connected to their classes back home using Skype. So they could say, you know, hi from Toronto, you know, and they would then use their phone or their laptop to quickly show, you know, their students where they were and to get other teachers to, you know, say a quick hello to, to the class. So that really brought home to me how Skype can be used across locations. Yeah. So for that example, you know, teachers were away from school attending a conference and could still stay in touch with their students. But you also mentioned an example of, you know, a teacher being being off sick, or if a student's off sick, you know, they could still be Skyped into the lesson.
Yeah, for sure. And I think with that story that you just told, what excites me and makes me quite proud is, like, in this particular country, we've got a lot of remote schools, you know, with very limited resources, you know, like up in Limpopo and Mpumalanga and in KZN and all over the place. And this tool really helps them, rather than just being a communication tool, it really helps them broaden their horizons and experiences with interactions like that, you know.
Yeah.
That they can have real life interaction with somebody in a different place, be it their teacher or somebody from a different organization, and they can have that interaction, know that there's that bigger world out there, and they you know, and it's real, and they can feel it. They're not doing it in a book, they're actually experiencing some of it like that.
That really is the power of Skype. A bit later in this virtual academy, we're going to be talking about Skype in the classroom. And that's a great resource for teachers to check out if they would like to access virtual field trips or guest speakers that are willing to Skype into their classrooms and have the children experience speaking to a marine biologist or a paleontologist or an archaeologist or somebody who does something really exciting, that children in more remote provinces or at rural schools maybe wouldn't have an opportunity to experience in, you know, in real life.
Yeah. And I mean, I went to a city school. I didn't even have that opportunity at a city school, you know. You just, there's those kind of people and resources simply don't scale to get to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And it's one thing seeing it on Discovery Channel or TV, but to actually have an interaction with somebody who has such a unique calling in life, you know, like a paleontologist, or to have access to ask the burning questions you've always been able to, been wanting to ask. I mean, that is such an opportunity. For sure.
There also are the virtual field trips on the Skype for class, Skype in the Classroom platform that let you, you know, take your children virtually to a museum or to, you know, one of the natural wonders in the world, and hear from an expert without any of the expense or the hassle of organizing a real field trip.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine taking 40 kids to Toronto?
Exactly.
Just the cost, let alone the organization.
Exactly.
Of it.
So it really lets students experience the world out there. Something else that's worth mentioning while we're talking about taking students you know, outside of their space is the translation services that are offered through Skype. How does that work?
So that's a very powerful tool that we have within Skype. We have it on Skype Consumer as well, and we have it in Skype for Business. In Skype Consumer, there's an instant messaging add-on that you put onto the client, which I think there's about 113 languages that will actually transcribe. If I'm typing in English, it'll type it in Afrikaans or Khoza or Zulu. So it bridges some of the communication gaps. On our Skype for Business service on 0365, we also have translation services. So with the power of the scale of 0365, we can do translation in IM, you know, in instant messaging, and we can also do voice translation. Okay, so you can have people from multiple backgrounds and cultures joining the same meeting, but listening to it in their own language, which is massively powerful. I mean, the some of the practical examples is this technology was used in, you know, the Syrian situation, repatronizing people into Europe. They use this service to be able to communicate with people. So it's really, really powerful. And the same would apply for learning. You could have, you know, somebody in the US speaking to somebody, you know, a native African language, and there'd be some type of transcribing there for them.
So I definitely saw teachers using the translation services available through Skype at the E2 Education Exchange. At that conference, teachers were grouped into groups of four or five teachers from different countries, and they had to work together on a collaborative project. And whilst all teachers could speak some English, for some it was, you know, a second, third or fourth language, but they were able to use Skype exactly as you described, to get their point across if, you know, they didn't perhaps know the word or how to phrase something.
Yeah, definitely better than pulling out your big translation book, English dictionary.
For sure. And once again, it just enables children to broaden their horizons. They don't only have to communicate with schools or other students from countries that speak the same language they do. They can use the translation services to communicate or play a great game like Mystery Skype, no matter you know, which country the other class is from or which languages they speak.
Yeah, and I mean, there's another boundary that we've tried to remove, you know. So that's another, you know, something we wouldn't have been able to do before in the past.
So let's think about at an actual school. Teachers come from different faculties, so there'll be different departments, you know, the maths department, the science department. How could Skype enable a department to communicate better and to work collaboratively on a project?
Well, there's different things. They could obviously set up groups and have group discussions, you know. We can do that ad hoc, you know, if we had a quick question in the classroom, we wanted to fire that off. I think also teachers are very busy. They've got a very busy day. So they might not always have time during the day to have those meetings. So they could have those meetings, you know, towards the end of the day while, you know, teachers have already gone home. They could also set up, you know, persistent chats and topic-based chat rooms where they can discuss things and share topics, you know, share content on those kind of things, and just collaborate a lot better than what they would currently with you know, the likes of sending an email, waiting for somebody to come back, and then you wait for everyone to come back, and you can have more instant you know, collaboration on that. And the ability to go and co-author on things, you know, with collaboration with our other office products, is you can actually go and co-author on documents. So you can have up to 36 teachers working on the same presentation. You know?
That's really fantastic, and it removes all of those issues around version control, because each person sort of working on their own version of the document, they can rather all do it within Office 365 whilst looking at that Skype chat menu along the side to discuss things as they make changes on the document.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect example of how, you know, not just Skype for Business, but the whole Office 365 platform brings it together in a scenario like that, where we can share a document on OneDrive, we can use the plugins to access our team and chat with them live, collaborate on a document. So your time to turn that around is a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And there's one single source of truth. You're not having 20 copies of a presentation running around.
For sure. And you can do it, you know, from home or from a conference somewhere else. If need be, you don't all actually have to be in the staff room discussing that document at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about students. We've talked quite a lot about teachers, but what are some of the challenges that students perhaps face, and how do you see Skype addressing some of those challenges?
Well, I think it's just the reverse of a lot of what we've been speaking about together. I think it's in terms of having access to the right resources to be able to complete it. You know, it's in terms of, you know, being able to coordinate group work together. So if you're on projects together and you want to co-author on certain projects, we need to, you know, create a platform to help them communicate. Other than, you know, having to be in the same room at the same time, you know, it gives them flexibility in terms of their hours and their location. So definitely in terms of working together with classmates and the different ways that they can do that. I mean, in terms of remote access to these resources, so you don't have to be in school every day. Kids, you should go to school, but you don't have to be there to be able to do it. If you're off sick, or if, you know, if you've had to go away from school for a couple of days, you can still interact and take place with that. So the ability to do it remotely as well as on site. And then just in terms of, you know, the opportunity that it comes to students of having access to these key resources and these expertise and subject matter experts anywhere in the world, you know. So we have these experts that sign up to help with, you know, students from around the world, access to those, and also just that broadening your horizon. You know, your bubble's not just your school, it's now the whole world, and being able to see how, you know, maybe schools in different cultures react and be able to interact with them. I think it just kind of broadens your horizons for you.
So Gareth, when we were kids and we had to do a group work project, it sort of involved, you know, meeting at somebody's house or all staying after school to work in the library because you had to be in the same physical space to be able to sort of gather your information and decide who was doing what. Whereas with Skype, each child could be at their own home or, you know, at school still and collaboratively working on a project in the same way as we do, we're describing teachers could do that earlier.
Yeah, the same. I mean, and I would probably argue because you've now gone to the effort of getting your PC out, dialing into the meeting or dialing in via your phone, you're a little bit more focused. We all know when we get together at someone's house, it could end up differently. But, you know, people are focused. They've got the tools at hand to be able to do what they need to, get it done and leave. You know, so I think the time to complete tasks is a lot quicker. And, you know, they're there for a purpose and they can do it in a shorter period.
The whole Skype concept also really enables the idea of the flipped classroom. Students doing some of the research sort of at home and the pre-reading activities and then maximizing class time to sort of unpack those concepts or to sort of tackle things that maybe they didn't understand the day before when they were preparing.
Yeah.
How do you see Skype playing a role in a teacher flipping his or her classroom?
I think it just extends his timelines, really, you know, and he allows that classroom time to be a lot more focused rather than that quiet time go and read this or go, you know, like they used to do when I was in school at least, you know. So I think it allows people to go and do their research in their own style, in their own time, and then come back and be more focused in classroom time so that they can collaborate on everything, put it all together, and get better results, you know. And also give them the ability to share their understanding of whatever they're doing, you know, and that what they've researched and things like that. So I think it just gives a lot more flexibility and more opportunity to understand better.
And if a teacher wanted to, the teacher could make himself or herself available after school hours to, you know, answer some questions that have come up on Skype.
Yeah, sure. And that can be live or it can be delayed. You know, we can post those questions and in the teacher's own time she can get back. Or the teacher can be part of the process, you know, and part of the actual session that they're having, you know.
Or you know, you needn't even have a teacher there asking questions. You know, if you have a group for the class, you know, everyone who's doing matric maths or whatever, maybe there's somebody else in the group who can answer a question that's been posed.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you could, you know, a lot of people have tutors that actually are not part of the school itself or an external entity. If they have a Skype account, they can be brought into those discussions as well. You know, so it's very agile and allows for any situation.
Okay, yeah. So Skype really provides a way for students to learn from their teacher, from other students in their class, as well as students from other schools. It gives a teacher an opportunity to provide some help after school if they choose to.
Yeah.
And that could be either sort of synchronous or asynchronous help. So
yeah,
either the teacher says, you know, I'll be available, you know, between 4 and 5 this afternoon. If you've got any problems, you can ask me. Or else, you know, they could ask a question and the teacher can get back to them when he or she's able to.
Yeah. The teacher will see the question linking up there with their at mention. So if we went at teacher, that would pop up ahead for the teacher, and they'd address that when they get the chance to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, if a teacher has both a Skype for Business account and a Skype Consumer or a normal Skype account, the teacher could then decide you know, who they want to be interacting with. So if they're on holiday or it's weekend, they may want to turn their Skype for Business off, but still be online on regular Skype for friends and family.
Yeah, 100%. They can choose what they want to log on to. They can log on to both. and communicate if they're communicating with different people. But yeah, definitely when you go away from school on holiday, log off your Skype for Business.
Okay. And perhaps when you're at school, maybe you log out of your personal Skype. And it's a way of sort of separating your two worlds.
Yeah.
We've already talked about virtual field trips, and I want to show that again when we talk about Skype in the classroom. So let's move on to Skype in the classroom. If teachers haven't yet seen this part of the Microsoft Educator community, this is well worth joining the Microsoft Educator community for. There's a screen grab that shows you what the Microsoft Educator community Skype in the classroom section looks like. But let me show you quickly live so you can see some of what's on offer there. If I go here into the Microsoft Educator community and I look down the menu on the left-hand side, if I go to the Skype in the Classroom section, there are a range of different sort of ways of bringing the world into the classroom. So there are virtual field trips, Skype lessons, Skype collaborations, mystery Skype, and guest speakers. So a lot of the points that Gareth and I have mentioned about how Skype can be used, you may have been thinking, or a teacher may have been thinking, well, it sounds, all very nice that you can bring an expert into the classroom, but maybe teachers have been thinking, where am I supposed to find these experts?
Yeah.
Well, here's the place. If you're looking for a guest speaker and you click on Find Guest Speakers, it'll show you how to get started, and you can sort of see who has made themselves available as a guest speaker, and you can do a search, and maybe somebody is willing to speak on the topic that you're busy covering. I know we had a South African Microsoft Innovative Educator expert who was really passionate about rhinos and rhino poaching and saving the rhinos. And she put herself on Skype in the classroom as somebody willing to be a guest speaker about rhinos. And she ended up speaking to classes around the world that were learning more about rhinos as an endangered species and wanted to speak to somebody from South Africa who knew about rhinos. So she put herself out there as a guest speaker and Skyped with kids from around the world. We didn't have things like that when we were at school.
No. Where do I sign up?
Okay, so Gareth, for example, you are somebody who knows something about motocross. You're passionate about motorbikes, so maybe you want to sign up as a guest speaker on motorbikes, or maybe you know about technology, you know about communication. If you go onto Skype in the classroom, you can say what topics you're willing to speak on.
Okay.
And a teacher who is, doing a lesson about modes of transport or whatever may very well be looking for a motorbike expert
to Skype with. That's very cool.
So this platform relies both on people being willing to be experts as well as teachers who are doing a topic where they think there might be an expert available, having a search and looking and seeing if there's somebody that they can connect with. So I do hope that the teachers who are watching will give this a try. Something else there that I think is great fun is a mystery Skype. Now, I don't know if you've ever done a mystery Skype.
I can't say that I have. No.
Okay, well, this is something well worth trying. Basically, one class of students try to guess where another class of students are in the world by just asking a series of yes and no questions. So maybe one class will sort of say, are you in the Northern Hemisphere? If the answer is no, they'll know, the class is in the Southern Hemisphere. Then they'll think, are they in Africa? If the answer is no, then they'll maybe try Australia or South America. But through asking these questions, the classes on both sides of the mystery Skype are practicing their map reading skills, are using, that geographical terminology that the teacher's maybe been, trying to get them to learn, but they're doing it in a really fun and practical way.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then once you've figured that out, I suppose there's nothing stopping you actually having a cultural exchange with those particular classrooms.
For sure. And if teachers go onto the Skype in the Classroom platform, they can look for other teachers who are willing to do a mystery Skype that teach children of about the same age. So, a grade 6 teacher who teaches sort of 10 or 11-year-olds might want to look for a teacher who teaches children of about the same age, so that if they solve the mystery very quickly, as you say, afterwards they could talk about, what's the weather like in your country today, or, what do you do on weekends for fun, and get to know what life is like for a 10 or 11-year-old in a country on the other side of the world.
Yeah, that's excellent.
The one thing teachers should keep in mind, though, is the time difference. And on the Skype in the Classroom platform, you're actually able to see who is roundabout in the same time zone as you are.
Yeah.
So teachers in South Africa would be best suited to do a mystery Skype with teachers from sort of other African countries or in Europe, because the time zone would be quite similar to ours. It would be tricky to do a mystery Skype with students who should be in bed and asleep at the same time as your class wants to Skype with them.
Yeah.
So those are two things to try out. There also are these virtual field trips. And for teachers that would love to take their children, to a museum or to an art gallery or to an aquarium, but it's just impossible. It's too expensive to get kids there, or maybe there isn't a museum or an art gallery in the town or city that's closest to a school. They could try out a virtual field trip.
And how does that work?
So there's a whole list of virtual field trips that are available on the platform. There's a section on animals, a section on ecology and conservation, history and culture, and then other subjects. And a teacher who's interested in doing one of these could just click on the virtual field trip, and the whole thing pops up for kids to play the video, experience it, have somebody talking about it. So perhaps your efforts to find a guest speaker who's willing to do something live, maybe if that doesn't quite work out,
sure,
there would be a pre-recorded sort of guest speaker as part of a virtual field trip that you could play for your students.
Okay.
So that's Skype in the Classroom. And it's not necessary to have Skype for Business or an Office 365 account to use any of the features of Skype, Skype in the Classroom. What you do need to do, though, is you need to join the Microsoft Educator community, which teachers can find at education.microsoft.com. So if you haven't already signed up and joined the Educator community, really check it out, register today, and look at the Skype in the Classroom resources. Before we go, though, if that's Skype in the Classroom, and we've talked a lot about normal Skype and what you can do with it, before we end off, can you just think of a few key reasons why it would be worth a school getting the Skype for Business version through an Office 365 account?
Sure. So I think for Skype for Business, from an organization and administration perspective, you want that compliance and that guaranteed service, as well as the scale that you can run the Skype for Business at. So it's not just a one-to-one relationship, it's actually one to many, up to 250 in a single meeting, or up to 10,000 on the broadcast service. And for a school, that makes a lot more sense to use that from a compliance perspective, that you'll have administration will be able to collaborate on that, and more than one. Skype itself, consumer, is more of a peer-to-peer type of scenario, where you've got one, a one-to-one kind of relationship. whereas Skype is for business is more multi-party. And it gives you a lot more modalities in terms of sharing desktops, so you can actually show people what you're doing if you've got instructional things that you want to do. Sharing content is another thing that we can only do on Skype for business. We can't do it on the Skype side. So beyond just the instant messaging, audio and video, all the other collaboration suites are all only Skype for business things, plus the scale that you would go with that. So really for an organization, it's a lot more appropriate. You know, for programs like Skype in the classroom, Skype is perfect for that kind of thing, for a one-to-one kind of relationship. But Skype for business on 0365 is really where you want to be from a school perspective, and then collaborating with other schools and with teachers and external parties from that perspective.
Gareth, thanks so much for joining us today. You've really helped to clarify what Skype's all about and how it differs from Skype for business. There's some key action items for teachers who are watching this virtual academy. If they haven't already got Skype, really they should download it and try it out on both your desktop, your laptop, and get the app for your phone so that you can experience it across platforms and across, try out those different modalities that Gareth was talking about. If you haven't yet joined the Microsoft Educator community, sign up today. What are you waiting for? And do check out the Skype in the Classroom resources so that you can plan a mystery Skype, go on a virtual field trip, and find an exciting guest speaker to bring into your classroom. The third thing is, if you've got an Office 365 account for your school, check out Skype for Business. And if you haven't yet signed up for Office 365, Skype would be a key reason why I would imagine schools would want to sign up for Office 365 so they can do some of those exciting things that Gareth was talking about. That brings us to the end of this virtual academy. Thanks so much for joining us, Gareth, and for sharing your expertise. And we look forward to the next one when we're discussing another Microsoft tool. I hope you'll join us then. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.